I was very religious when I was young. I was born into a Roman Catholic family. We had statues around the house. We had holy water fonts in all of the bedrooms, if not in other rooms as well. We had rosary beads. We said the family rosary down on our knees every single day. I served Mass as an altar boy daily for a good long time. I made my first communion. I was baptized, made my first communion with confirmation. I did all of those things. I learned my catechism. That's a book in which you got a whole load of questions which begin with, you know, who is God? No, it began with who made the world, actually, I think, to remember the first question was. And there were, you know, questions that were short, had short answers, and questions that had long answers. I believed, I put the word in inverted commas, in transubstantiation. What else can I tell you? I wasn't ever much good at singing hymns. Oh, I went to confession. I went to confession. Confessed my sins. I had Holy Communion. I was a Roman Catholic, not a Christian, a Catholic. Yeah, Catholic is what we called ourselves. And I didn't have very much to do with Protestants. Never met a Jewish person. Never heard of any Muslims. Zoroastrians, I couldn't even spell the name. Buddhists, Taoists. I was even Russian Orthodox. But I used to pray for them to be forgiven and for them to be able to go to heaven. Yeah, because otherwise, unless they were forgiven and they might never get into heaven at all. Conversion of the Jews, I remember praying for the conversion of the Jews, or forgiveness of the Jews, and maybe, anyway, the Protestants all had to rejoin the, come on back under the Pope, the Jews had to be forgiven, all those who would, oh yes, and if you died, I believed that if you died, before you were baptized, you went to a place called limbo. That was kind of like a eternal holding operation. It was not the same as, I mean, if you had a normal life, when you died, you went to purgatory. Yeah, you didn't go straight to heaven. You had to serve your time in purgatory. And in purgatory, you did penance, called canonical penance. And you suffered, right? But when you'd done a certain amount of canonical penance, suffering, you were let into heaven. And if you were really, really lucky, I believed that you could die having had all your sins forgiven, like immediately after going to confession, a sincere confession, you could die and you could go straight to heaven. Because if your sins, I think, that if you're, the only sins that you were left with after you'd gone to confession and done your penance and everything were those that happened in between your last confession and your next confession. So there was a good chance you weren't going to spend that long in purgatory. But if you went to limbo, as you would if you were an infant who died during childbirth, you'd never ever get into heaven. What else did I believe? Oh yes, I believed in the infallibility of the Pope when speaking ex cathedra, which admittedly he didn't do very often, but that at certain times the Pope could actually speak with the benefit of infallibility. Now, just to be clear, that did not mean that if the Pope said that something was the case, in the normal course of his we'll call it missionary ministry, that, oh, you had to believe. Yeah, there was, I believed that you had to believe the Pope when the Pope spoke infallibly. I used to eat meat, never eat meat on Fridays, always fish on Fridays. A lot of things. In other words, I was terrified, frightened a lot of hell. Hell was a really important thing. It's the purpose of life was to avoid going to hell. And that mattered so much to me that when I figured out that I wasn't going to go to hell, the whole of my religious world collapsed. Yeah, I figured out that it was impossible for me to commit what's called a mortal sin. Now, you get into heaven if you die after committing a mortal sin without having had it forgiven. Like, venial sins are okay, you just go to purgatory. But mortal sin was everlasting damnation if you died while in the state of mortal sin. But then I figured out that I couldn't actually commit a mortal sin, because there were three conditions to what made a sin, what we used to call a mortler, right? A mortal sin. You had to have full knowledge. Fair enough. You had to really know what you were doing, right? Full knowledge, not just a bit of knowledge. You had to know that what you were doing was a mortal sin, right? That was, if you did something like murdered somebody and for some weird reason didn't realize that murder was a mortal sin, then, anyway, you wouldn't have committed a mortal sin. So you had to have the full consent. Yeah, you had to fully consent to what you were doing. Yeah, if you were under any type of pressure from other people, that meant that you didn't fully consent to doing it. It couldn't be a mortal sin. So clear knowledge, full, and free will, I think, was the third one. That free will. Yeah, that's the third one. Right. So one day it struck me that nobody in their right mind would dream of doing something that would put them at major risk of going to hell, eternal damnation. You know, I mean, how on earth would you at all ever do something that puts yourself in line for everlasting, you know, an infinity of suffering? You know, you would be bonkers if you did that. And if you were bonkers, you weren't in the state of, you can't commit a mortal sin if you're bonkers. You know, if there's something wrong with you that you can't give full consent, or you don't understand the gravity. I mean, if you don't understand the gravity of what you're up to, then you can't commit a mortal sin. It's only by fully understanding the gravity of what you're doing, and then deliberately doing it, that you commit a mortal sin. So, I arrived at my own conclusion that I couldn't commit a mortal sin. And if I couldn't commit a mortal sin, it meant that I was bound to go to heaven. Right? I might have to spend time in purgatory, but I was certain to go to heaven. So I was living a life which I would be certain to go to heaven. I would definitely not go to hell. And at that point, a huge weight was lifted off my mind. I didn't have to make enormous efforts to get to heaven. I just had to live an ordinary, decent life, and I didn't need to suffer all of the anxiety or put up with all of the worry that I might inadvertently put my foot in the wrong place and thereby, you know, be heading to hell. Because if you put your foot in the wrong place, so to speak, walked across the road, were knocked down by a bus, didn't have time to get a confession, that would be a really awful, there could be terrible consequences. Anyway, as soon as I came to the conclusion that mortal sin was no longer on the cards, that hell was no longer on the cards, I stopped being religious. I stopped going to Sunday Mass. So that was another thing. When I was religious, it was compulsory to go to Sunday Mass. If you didn't go to Sunday Mass, for more or less any reason, that was a mortal sin. It wasn't just a sort of, you know, you let yourself down, you were a weak Catholic or something like that, or you weren't a fully card-carrying member. No, it was mortally sinful not to go. So I could stop going to Mass on a Sunday. For a while I kept on going. You know, I'd go to Mass, but I wouldn't necessarily go every Sunday. But in the summer, I think it was, that I left school, I stopped going to Mass. And when I came back from the United States, I was no longer a Mass goer. The only times I go to Mass nowadays are at funerals where they have Mass. I'm very keen on sung Masses, by the way. I was very keen on the Latin Mass, Gregorian chant. Big into Gregorian chant. So back to the question of going to Mass. I go to Mass for funerals, go to Mass for weddings, go to Mass for christenings. I do all of those things. Nowadays, no problem at all. That's enough really about it. I've left out a whole lot of my religious journey. The one thing I will say is that to this day and always, I have never ever stopped being interested in theology, ontology, metaphysics. These are big, big interests of mine. I'm pretty well read when it comes down to my Christian Bible. Yeah, I've kind of crawled all over the Bible. Yeah, so I don't want to say I can tell you that Matthew 14 tells you that this, that, and the other is the case. I can't quote you from the Apocalypse of John, but I have read them all. And I have, I've even read the book of Job, right? Poor old me. And I was feeling very sorry for myself. And, you know, at school we used to pass around Deuteronomy, laws concerning chastity, because I grew up in a society where stuff about sex wasn't freely available, shall we say. So what else? No, that's about all. But a little bit of my history of my religious beliefs. If I had had more time, I would have got around to telling you why today, whenever anybody says, you know, what are you, Paul? I don't say I'm an atheist. I don't say I'm an agnostic. I don't even say I'm a lapsed Catholic. No. I say I am an unbeliever. That's me. I'm an unbeliever. In addition to saying I'm an unbeliever, I also say that every step I take, every movement I make, is a prayer. Yeah. My whole life is one long prayer. And by the way, I don't go around beating up little old ladies and robbing children's money boxes. And I don't go around cursing and swearing. And I don't harbor, you know, desires to abscond with my best friend's wife.